Hi there. So it's over a week since we last recorded podcast. Not that we haven't been doing anything. We've been very busy. In fact, there's so much I think to talk about that we'll probably do this episode in two pieces. If you remember the last one, we were still in Jokkmokk on the Arctic Circle, just waiting for the weather to get a little better so we could get over into Norway. So to get in that direction, we headed off to Kiruna, which is up in the mountains near Sweden's largest mountain. It was quite a long drive. We saw lots more reindeer on route, of course. Huge hydro works, water works, and so on. Big lakes and so on. And eventually got to Kiruna on a cold, windy day. We checked into a really a park by somewhere we could park up at a hotel on the edge of Kiruna, and they told us that the snow had only gone in the last few days from winter. Not the most attractive place in is Kiruna. It's a big mining town. I believe it's iron ore that they mine there, and the mine is so big, they've actually had to they're actually having to move the town because of subsidence from the mine. So they're moving it a couple of kilometers down the road, and they're rebuilding it. We had a look at that, but it's still all pretty bleak, particularly on a cold, windy day. We settled down, and then the next morning we gritted our teeth to head off towards Narvik, over the mountains into Norway. Going over the mountains was quite interesting. There was some the weather was okay, but it was again still pretty windy. Some sleet, snow to battle with. And some of the lakes were frozen with pack ice around the edge. We stopped for a coffee at a small ski resort near a place called Abisko. Very nice little place. Again, very quiet. It's kind of between seasons at the moment. Carried on over the mountains, over the how can I put it, sleepy Norwegian border. Nobody there. Down the mountains on the other side towards Narvik. The field, once we got below the clouds and off the top of the mountain, the field going out of Narvik was absolutely spectacular. Huge mountain over the town, over the field, little houses down around the bottom. I don't think we actually managed to get a photo of it. The weather was still not entirely kind, but we were making good headway. However, the weather wasn't so great, so we decided not to stop at Narvik, but to press on towards Lofoten, towards the Lofoten Islands, and moved on, zigzagging around fields, and ended up arriving at a place called Lødingen, which is on the edge of Lofoten, one of the first places you come to. Super little place, great harbour that where they've got a place that there's dedicated to mobile homes. And you drive across the harbour wall, which is slightly scary, and then you park up overlooking the boats in the harbour. And behind us, where we were, was this little beach. Right over the other side of the sea, you could see mountains with snow on it and all that kind of thing. We also, as we went out to stretch our legs, wandered around the quiet little town there, Lødingen, and found what was essentially a pub. And we had a couple of very, very well-earned beers in that pub. And already we were seeing just how amazingly beautiful the Lofotens could be in between the rain and the wind that we were experiencing. So the next day, so overnight, we could hear waves lapping around the back, on the beach, around the back of the van, really nice. Ferries coming and going. Oyster catcher, birds just passing along the beach and so on, and some really great, some really a really great, lovely location, which, by the way, was also our 45th wedding anniversary that morning. So that day we set off to find another place to find another stop. Really, more in the Lofoten Islands, and we went past the main island, the main town of Svolvær, I think it's pronounced, to a place called Cableway. And you know, the drive there was fantastic. We, you know, again going round and round fields, huge. I mean, they just come straight out of the sea and go up forever and disappear into the clouds. Absolutely amazing sight. When you can see them. But we found the campsite at Cableway and parked up for what was planned to be 2 days. It was wet, you know, and they were just starting to wake up from their winter season and starting to get ready. So they had a guy who'd set up a marquee who was barbecuing fish and whale. So we kind of weren't so sure about that and gave that one a miss. Next day, the weather was slightly a little bit better, and we went around the other side of that particular island, if you like, and then off into a little chain of islands to a place called Henningsvær, which is a sort of a hipster town. It's known as it may be a hipster town. It's also a place where they obviously have a lot of dried cod. When we walked into the town, you could smell it. Kept thinking, oh, there's a chip shop here somewhere. No, there were no chips, just lots of dry cod, racks and racks of the stuff. We also coincided with their music festival, Codstock, which had been going on for 3 days. I've got to confess, we didn't hang around to actually watch any of the bands, but it was clear people were arriving. It's a really nice little town, lots of interesting little shops and things, almost like something you might find in Cornwall or Devon, the typical sort of interesting sort of tourist shops and so on. It was an interesting place, shall we say. One of the things that Henningsvær is also famous for is that they've got one of the islands that make up the town. It's pretty well dedicated to the football pitch, and there's some great photos of it, of aerial shots of it. You know, this football pitch with kind of basically some rocks around it, and then sea. It is quite spectacular. And I have to say, those rocks also have, guess what, dried cod on them. From there, the rain started to come in. We went down the road a little bit further to a Viking museum, really well done, to be honest with you. Some great exhibitions, and then they got a whole Viking longhouse built up on the hill above it. You could go into where they had people doing handicrafts and that sort of thing. You know, really kind of showing the Viking way of life. Really good on a wet, rainy day. It turned out also that was the Sunday. It turned out the next day they also have Whit Monday in Norway. So the 29th was also a bank holiday, so very quiet again. But that was okay. We decided we'd then set off to go further west and see if we could get to the very western end of the Lofoten Islands. And the weather was much better. Still the odd shower, still quite windy. But nevertheless, we were able to really see much more of the amazing, spectacular landscape that makes up the Lofotens. Again, I've repeated myself, but these mountains just coming straight out of the sea, tiny little villages around the bottom, snow on the top. Really breathtaking. I will put some photos up on Flickr after doing this podcast, to give you an impression. I've got a lot more photos, as you can imagine, but I'll give you some idea. It'll give you some idea of the kind of how spectacular it was. So we had a better day. We got right to the very end. We got to a town called Or, which is A with a thing on the top, is the name of the town. You can think of it as like a kind of a Norwegian Land's End, but much more remote. I mean, honestly, it really is the end of the world. And then you can see islands further beyond that as well. And then we retraced our steps very slightly. It was only like 10 minutes away. Went back to a town called Moskenes, where there's a ferry port, and settled down at a really nice campsite kind of just above the ferry port. The weather was still was coming back in again, and we thought, actually, you know, we don't necessarily want to retrace our steps all the way around Lofoten. Why don't we take a ferry back to the mainland? So we booked a ferry for the next morning. We had a couple of choices. We chose the 7 o'clock sailing. Luckily, the ferry port was literally below the campsite. You could you know, like 500 yards almost. So you could just roll down the hill at 6 o'clock in the morning to queue for the ferry. By which time, by the way, it was almost, the queues were almost full, just waiting to get the ferry. And we took a 3 and a bit hour ferry across to Bodø on the mainland. Had a snack on the ferry, and then back into Norway. We arrived at Bodø at 10 something in the morning, and then started setting off towards, with an ultimate plan of moving back towards Sweden, getting towards the east side of Sweden. Bearing in mind it would have been a bank holiday the day before, we did some shopping, filled up with gas and petrol. Jan's just reminded me of something very important. Going back a step, very, very important. When we arrived at this campsite in Moskenes in Lofoten the night before we left, as we parked up the van, I looked out the window and I thought I saw a fin in the sea, and we basically leapt out of the van. And sure enough, there were half a dozen orca right in front of us in front of the campsite, and then they eventually disappeared. And when we came back that evening, we saw even more, and we had an even clearer view of them. And it was an amazing sight to just see them there, wild, straight outside your campsite. Amazing sight. So I'll go back to what we were doing. So we arrived at Bodø and then started to head back towards Sweden. And to do that, we took a slightly circuit, long way around, because we didn't fancy going right over the mountains directly, because there's quite a long way across the mountains there and quite a narrow road back to Sweden. So we took the route down to Mo i Rana and stayed the night in Mo i Rana. It was great going up, you know, it's exciting, shall I say, going above the snow line, going to Mo i Rana, fantastic scenery. Weather was a bit challenging, quite windy. We crossed the Arctic Circle again, and we were above the tree line as well, both in height and latitude, as it were. We saw cranes very clearly. I mean, the bird, very clearly near Mo i Rana, and ended up at the campsite of Mo i Rana. Slightly odd position, but it turned out to be a really nice sight in the end. Had a pretty good night's sleep. The weather was still quite windy and quite noisy. Next day we started to head back towards Sweden. And we were taking a road that was hopefully slightly shorter across the mountains. Let's put it that way. So as we got up into the mountains, again, frozen lakes, less wind though, which was a real godsend. And also mostly, you know, the odd sleet shower, but nothing quite as heavy as we'd seen. And some great views and frozen lakes and so on. And we also started to see more and more baby reindeer. It seems like over the last week or so, it looks like that's the season when the mother reindeer give birth or something. There were quite a lot more on the roadside, and interestingly, some of them were pure white, some of them were pure black. Very empty roads, and you know, sights of Arctic hare, Jan saw Capercaillie female out of the van. You know, we saw elks again, Arctic foxes, and so on. We saw, and at one point, we saw a large white-tailed eagle landing on in a pine tree. As we got on the other side, we saw this white-tailed eagle, which was really spectacular. So we headed our destination for that leg was Storuman, which is still in Lapland. I think just south of the Arctic Circle by then. Interesting town, not particularly, actually, I'll take that back. But, you know, quite a nice campsite on the side of the lake. Would be super in the summer. This time of year, it was kind of okay. But oddly enough, we realised that one of our neighbouring van, it was the first time we actually parked next to another English camper van. I haven't seen many English camper vans around on this trip. And so we had a chat with the lady there who was doing a similar tour, bigger. She'd been right up north. And she was also kind of looking for slightly better weather. So we were back in Sweden, back in Storuman. And I'll finish this part section there. And we'll carry on and I'll describe the next thing, the next bit in the next piece. So picking up from where I left off yesterday, I forgot in the last section, I forgot to mention that we were, for a lot of the, once we got over the border back into Sweden, we were following a road called the Blåvägen, Blue Way, which goes down all the way from the Swedish border. It follows lakes and rivers, that's why it's called Blue, all the way down to the sea, at Umeå and beyond. At least 500 kilometres. So that was quite spectacular. And also that we doubled up some of the route that we'd done previously. We drove through part of that road through Tarnaby to get to Storuman. The next day, we woke up in Storuman. It had been quite a... it was a nice morning, but it was and dry, but it was quite windy still. Anyway, so we started heading south towards Umeå, which is the third largest city in Sweden, for those that are taking notes. We passed through a town called Lycksele, which had a huge Lapland hotel, and an amazing statue of the dancing cranes, the birds, on a roundabout. It was really well done, to be honest with you. An odd little, you know, long drive, lots of pine trees and lakes and so on. Absolutely obvious that we're now back into warmer climates. There are leaves on the trees. There are, you know, green fields, that kind of thing. Something we'd not seen for several days, to be honest with you. And also odd things. You know, we were driving down one little road and there was a truck that had a mechanism on it for pulling snow poles out of the side of the road, which is quite interesting. We had a bit of a GPS issue around Umeå, but there was a closed bit of motorway that didn't appear on any GPS, but that was okay. But mostly that was the day spent driving to our next campsite, which would be on the just southwest of Umeå. Basically, it would be a lovely spot in summer, little swimming place, little kiosk, playground swings for kids, that sort of tiny little thing on a beach on the Baltic coast. Nobody there this time of year. And we parked up and we went off for a walk and came back. And would you believe it, the lady that was parked next to us the night before was now parked next to us at this site as well. We're the only two. So she'd obviously found it as well online, and she was there. So it would have been rude not to have a longer chat over a drink, which we did that evening, and got to know each other quite well. It was a very sort of functional site, but just what was needed. So that takes us to where we're recording this one today. which is at a place called Harnesund. Oh, I struggle with that one. Harnesund, which is again on the Baltic coast. Rather than being a tiny little beach like last night, this is a small town with a harbour, and we're parked up on part of the marina. Lovely old town here, actually, in the sunshine, which we're grateful for. We've been out for a walk this afternoon up a hill overlooking the town, where there's a ski slope, a couple of ski slopes, not this time of year, but they've been used for slalom skiing during the winter. Just amazed to be in what we're hoping for, which is slightly warmer, drier and less windy conditions, and really looking forward to enjoying a few days here in Sweden in that sort of climate. So more to come.